Welcome to another explosive episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week our topic is Planet Hulk by Greg Pak. And now the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another angry episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. And I'm here hulking with Jen. And David.
Hey. David Smash!
There we go. And this week we read Incredible Hulk, Planet Hulk, which collects Incredible Hulk, issues 92 to 105. This is like a fucking year of comics.
Yep. Sure was. He was on that planet for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he's got to conquer shit.
Well, if he was only there for like a day, it wouldn't really be his planet.
I think if he hadn't been weakened by the portal, he would have conquered that shit in a day.
I'm just saying, you gotta stick around a bit before you can be considered native.
Maybe he got his green card really fast. Beer all week.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
So this was fucking amazing. I really, really liked this comic.
I was going to make another pun.
What was it? Do it again.
I was going to say, did you think it was incredible?
Yes. This comic was incredible. This was an Incredible Hulk comic.
It's good because it's in the title.
Yeah. See how we brought that back?
We're still explaining jokes 2 weeks later.
So, this was good.
Yeah.
What did you all like about it? Here, let me rephrase that. At what point did you decide, I like this comic? Because for me, it was when he first got his sword and cut something in half and yelled, Hulk Slash. I was like... That's a little thing that I really like. I'm laughing at this out loud reading this comic book. I'm in. This is great.
Mine's horrible. I liked it, but then I started to really like it at the disintegrating baby.
So dead babies really pull you in?
Wow.
It was like the saddest. It was like, no, I enjoyed it thoroughly, but then I read that and I was like, oh my god, my world is ruined. And I was like really unhappy. And I was like, wow, I actually... I'm really reacting to this comic. It was so sad. I was like, I could not believe that happened. That doesn't happen in comics. Mm-mm.
Disintegrating dead baby?
Never happened.
Not supposed to.
Nope.
What were you doing?
When did I like this?
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
5 years ago when it came out.
Yeah.
Way to go hipster on us. Sorry, I just put like a bunch of words in your mouth.
I just had the worst pun.
Say them. It's not like you've been holding them back.
It doesn't even
night.
Have anything to do with Hulk. I liked Iceman before he was cool.
Oh god.
So oh, when did man. You buy in, David?
I'm looking at the notes right now, and the Silver Surfer part's really drawing me in. But I think it was before that. I think the idea of Hulk being a gladiator is amazing.
As soon as you see him, like, with the armor in an arena.
Yeah, because it's like, Hulk wouldn't even need armor. But then he just seems all the more badass because of it.
Right, like, I get the feeling he just kind of likes wearing it.
Well, even, like, as soon as he gets to the planet, and he's, like, getting all pissed off, because the bugs and the red guys are, like, arguing over who owns him.
Yeah.
He starts to get totally pissed off, and he tries to attack the red guys, and he's like, and the red guys are like, fuck you, guy, and he like shocks him, and he is out. And it's like, alright, Hulk's in a serious place now, because that doesn't happen to Hulk.
This does not happen
Nobody
to Hulk.
Nobody renders him unconscious.
That easily. Nowhere near that easily.
Yeah.
Especially since we just saw him like fight this mega space station.
Yeah, so it's like really cool, because it's a real challenge. Now he's in a real tough position, so you know this is going to be interesting. He's not just going to, you know, have his quietude interrupted and then well, gamma ray.
It's good because his story is a long build-up, right? From the point of him coming from this being this gladiator to conquering the world to the world getting destroyed. It's a long storyline. And when you have a character that is as strong as the Hulk, infinitely powerful, you have to have some kind of conceit to make it, to make the plot slow down for him.
Yeah.
Right? Because if he'd have just come through the portal the way he was when he finished blowing up the God's Eye, he would have just ran up to the Emperor and smashed his face and he would have been done in two issues. But I like the way that they were like, the portal weakened him, the portal weakened everybody. They brought down Silver Surfer. Like, that's just what this thing does. And he will build up his strength. Again, it'll just take some time.
And Silver Surfer makes everything better. The part where he just, like, was like, I have the power cosmic and freed all the slaves. Really good. I don't know, though. Like, the fact that he actually had to fight Hulk. I understand why it happened, but it made me a little sad.
What's those obedience discs?
Yeah, it's just... You shouldn't fight.
What?
Nice delivery.
I really got pulled in with dead babies, but man, these two are supposed to be friends.
I didn't like the fact
that the child died. I liked how sad it was.
Right, okay.
Not a sociopath.
Alright, so Hulk lands on the planet, gets rendered unconscious, becomes a gladiator.
And then he has to go through all these trials. Mm-hmm. Right? Fights his way up, fights for his freedom. Right? And what, like he... this? I remember the situation was he could kneel and ask for his freedom from the Emperor. But instead he said, fuck that! And just got himself out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that he would not kneel. And it was not even like he was proud, he was just so angry. This is actually a comic where Hulk angry works really well. Because it's, like, not the blind rage anger. It's, like, this seething, plotting, intelligent anger. And he kind of works through this entire sequence of events. And fairly purposefully. He's not just, like, smashing things. Well, I mean, he is, but not without a purpose.
And I think it works because this Emperor, in his own arrogance, has built a world where strength means... like, the whole idea of might makes right. He's emperor because he's the strongest, and you do not defy the emperor because if you do, you're going to get fucking burned. Right? Like, he's... the emperor has built this world based around fighting and strength.
Yeah.
Which means that when you get a guy like Hulk in the mix, that emperor is pretty fucking boned. It's only a matter of time, and you really should have killed him back in issue number 2. You really should have. After he cut you, you should have just beheaded him, and you'd have been fine. Could have kept ruling this shit rock.
That emperor was so awful. I feel like tyrant villains are often done poorly. In that they always seem like children.
Yeah.
There's no good ulterior motive. They're just like, I want what I want, and I want it now.
Well, and actually the best example I saw of the Emperor being scheming or conniving or smart or using his brain was when he was a child and when he got the old strong woman.
Yeah.
I intentionally brought the spikes here so that I could kill everything. And the only one that was left was the only one that was strong enough to serve me. Right? Like, that's evil and makes evil logical sense.
Yeah. It's scheming, but it's like...
maybe, legit. Like, at the point where Hulk meets him, he's just become so complacent.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it's that thing where he's been in this power position for so long, and when he demands something, he's used to getting it.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you. Like, the childish comes also out of the thing, like, it's just arbitrarily evil douche. You know, like, just the random burning of senators.
Yeah.
Why would anybody run for public office?
I mean...
you're going to get burned alive.
Like, dictators, tyrants, they tend to be sadistic. But the sadism isn't really shown here as actual sadism. I think in a lot of ways, publishers tend to be afraid of showing people who do horrible things for the pleasure of it. Instead, the motive for it is a little ambiguous in that, you know, we know he kind of likes doing these bad things, but we don't actually see him like, really happy that he does them. He's just kind of like, now I'm going to arbitrarily kill these two people, and I'm going to burn this guy, and ha-ha. But it's not the same as, like, the darkness that sadistic characters tend to have.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole component's just sort of missing.
So while Hawk's in the arena, he meets some people.
Yeah. Do we like his teammates? I kind of really like Meek.
Yeah.
Meek is awesome.
King Hero Meek.
I like his evolution too. Not just the literal change, like the Pokemon evolution. From forehands to like spiky back forehands. What? That's what he did. He did a Pokemon evolution. Don't put your head in your hands.
He could have pushed B, so he wouldn't have evolved.
But then he would have been King Meek. And then what would Brute have gotten? Honestly, that was the creepiest scene to me.
Yeah.
There were all kinds of creepy scenes, but King Meek and Brood getting it on, that was disturbing. That was really disturbing.
It was inevitable.
Was it?
I don't know.
He doesn't, there's no more queens, they're both unhived. They can go make a new hive.
They're not even the same species.
It's not space.
Even, like, not even close. I know it's... Well, I guess I shouldn't complain too much because Hulk and Old Strong should have been just as gross.
And then, but no, they're humanoid, so we're okay with
it. Yeah, no, she's got boobs, so it's alright. You were grossed out by that one?
Hulk's a little gross.
A little bit too much muscle.
He's a little, like, ew.
Some people are into that.
Yeah.
Some people are into bugs and tentacle bugs, also.
With giant teeth. What does the arena announcer say? Like, you gotta love her smile?
Yeah.
I like that announcer. He was good at his job.
He'd probably be, you know, I was gonna say something about monster trucks, but never mind. I feel like he'd be like a monster truck guy. And now here's Gravedigger to run over these cars.
I could see that.
And then, what were the other teammates? Korg, the Rock Man.
Korg's pretty cool.
I liked his backstory. You got a little Thor cameo in there.
Well, that's from Thor's origin story. He fights those rock guys.
Oh, and he was one of the rock guys that was there at Thor. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like how it took the old art too. That was like really cool.
Well, there's even one of the rock guys they fight only has one arm because Thor takes one of their arms off.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. A little continuity from what, 50 years ago?
Yep. Who else is on the team? Hero, he's cool. Pretty badass. I don't think we got enough of him, though. I would have liked more about him.
Yeah, and then, Ski? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah, Aloy. Aloy or Aloy?
The bodyguard.
Yeah.
And the senator's daughter, right?
Oh, yeah. I hate her. Yeah. I wanted her to die. And then she didn't. I was angry.
I was okay with her until after the war was done and she wanted to kill Meek. And I was like, hey, why?
Didn't you learn anything?
Exactly. Have you just been fucking around with us for, like, the year that we've been out here doing this shit?
It really annoys me when she killed the guy who killed her father. But then she wouldn't admit it. All she would do is laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you did something that was reasonable vengeance, but not good, like, human behavior. Well, she's not human, but whatever. Yeah.
Not good pinky behavior.
And she won't even fess up to it. It's like, just be like, yeah, I killed him because he killed my father and ruined my life and I'm really mad. Yeah. That's okay.
There's nothing wrong with vengeance. What did you say, Hulk? Never stop making them pay?
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Come on, makes sense.
And then, like, later, Meek tries to get vengeance and she's like, nah, 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 nah. It's like, oh my gosh.
Well, it is vengeance upon her mother.
Still. Like, you think she'd be a little more understanding. Like, maybe they could both have a revelation there. Like, oh, this is
well, bad. And I don't understand why her mother was being so incredibly stupid. Her mother was like, yeah, the Emperor's dead, but we're still Hybor, and we still deserve this planet, and we still need our slaves. I mean, like, do you want to live or not?
I kind of feel like that's actually a fair representation of, like, racism that's pervasive in a culture. Because the thing is, like, there are still people in the South, right? You know, yeah. It's like you lost the war a long time ago, and they're like, no, we're better. It's like, no, you're not.
People riding around with, like, the Confederate flag on their trucks and stuff.
And it's kind of this, I think, culturally ingrained idea in some people that they are better and, you know, consequences be damned, they want to show that or say it. Ugh, gross. Hate those people.
See, but I think that's a fair... I think the Confederate thing is a great example for our country and our world. But in this world, the construct is might makes right. And if you think Hulk's going to put up with that kind of bullshit, you're going to die. Like, I don't think... If you put these rules on our planet, Hulk would just run down there and kill those people with the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
I think you'd have no problem with it.
I think part of it, though, is she wasn't fighting Hulk. It was her daughter.
Yeah.
And she kind of knew her daughter wasn't going to hurt her. Fucking the part where they come up to Ella and they're like, they don't want an emperor, they want a queen. And she's like, yeah, let's go. Like, really? You think that's a good plan?
You just want to hop into ruling everybody right away?
She is so stupid. I can't even deal with it. Meek, though. The whole time I was reading this, I was like, Meek's going to die. Meek is doomed to die. Because, you know, he's a lovable, fun character. And, of course, they're going to impale him. But then they don't. And that surprised me. But then he died kind of a metaphorical death. When the broodmother, or not broodmother, the queen, the head queen died. Yeah.
He became really doomed at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, his people, nothing else became doomed. Yeah, I was, the whole time they had that thing with, like, the Sakaar Sun and the world break, and I'm like, hey, could be what they're saying, like, I understand, what was it, Heroine says, like, they're, look, guys, it's all just kind of allegory, and these are really simple, stupid proverbs, like, you could put this on half the people, and it would probably fit if you really tried hard enough.
Yeah.
And yeah, Hulk is big enough, large enough, he's larger than life, so it seems all the more real for him. You know, like, Heroim is the one who's like, you people are taking this way too literally. But at the same time, the comic book entices you to be like, well, I don't know, who could it be? Like, is one of these people the Sakaar Sun? And I was like, well, it could be Meek. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, his brood definitely thinks so.
Yeah. And then at the end, I was like, well, no, Meek is going to be the world breaker, because Meek is going to be the one who wants to never stop making them pay. And so all this work that Hulk is doing, I was getting this sinking feeling that Meek was going to undermine all of it at the end.
Yeah, it kind of still weirds me out. I know that Hulk is super strong and might makes right, but to think it's really a great idea to look to Hulk for leadership? I mean, he couldn't have done it without Heroim and...
The old strong woman.
Strong.
Kara.
And then the stone guy.
Korg.
Korg, yeah.
Korg.
And it's like she even points out, like, Heroim and Korg know strategy in battle, but without them, what are you? You're just strong, and that's not going to save you or your people.
But then in the end, when he is Hulk, he does show a lot of intelligent problem solving.
Yeah, he's smarter than I thought Hulk would be.
Well, when I turned the page and Hulk was feeding the spikes off of his arm, I was like, oh, fuck. I wouldn't have ever thought of that, and that's really disturbing. But that's really ingenious problem solving. I didn't think of the Hulk as being the, not altruistic, because it's more than that, like, self-sacrificial character, like, that kind of figure. I never thought he would be in a position or have a state of mind or presence of mind to put himself there. Like, the idea of I'm strong enough to put this world's burdens upon me. Like, in every way, you know.
Well, think about all the times we see the Hulk, right? He's Bruce Banner, then he gets mad, and he continues to get mad. But here he's in Hulk mode the whole time. And he has time to stop and think. And so we get to see him as Hulk for such a protracted long period of time that we get to see parts where he is Hulk but not fighting. And so maybe he had that intelligence all the time, but it's easily overridden by rage.
Right, like maybe last week when he destroyed the satellite, if you hadn't kicked him off to space right away, and he could hang out as the Hulk. And we saw that before. He was out there fishing with the other bears. He was smart enough to know how to fish, knew what he was doing, right? I mean, it takes... It's not a difficult moral task where you have to do a ton of thinking, but it takes a controlled thought process to fish, and it takes a certain patience, even when you're the Hulk, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So he obviously has these capabilities, but you're right. Every time that he would be able to exert these mental capabilities while he's in the form of the Hulk, they immediately dick with him again.
Yeah, I don't know. He's smart here, but I still really feel like it's one of those friendship is magic type of deals. You know?
Well, that's Meek's point of view. Friendship is magic. I think everybody else in the comic is a little more... slightly more realistic?
Yeah. Definitely.
I think the whole warbound mechanic makes it easier, too. Because then you could say friendship is magic, and everybody says, oh, friendship is magic is bullshit. And then you just make everybody warbound, and they're like, okay, yeah, you're right, friendship is magic. Like, that's how they solve the fight between Aloy or Aloy and Meek.
Yeah.
Right? That's basically all that they do. Because Meek and Aloy are warbound, but then they decide to duel, so obviously not too warbound, and then Hulk jumps in and says, all right, now you're all warbound.
It was really awesome that he thought of that, too.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have necessarily thought of that in that situation.
But it's just, like, Hulk just jumps in and reminds them all that friendship is indeed magic. And you all are friends. So let's stop fighting, okay?
Well, I mean, friendship's a whole is a big part of this, right? These characters that we thought were Hulk's friends, you know, the other Avengers,
mm-hmm.
Iron Man and Doctor Strange, Reed Richards, all these people turned out to be cruel assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hulk comes here and there's people who do become his true friends. Like, they're honor bound. They've been through some real shit together.
Yeah.
And so, I think for some of them, for some people like Aloy, it's more of a friend, it's like a friendship of convenience, right? But for people like, for the rest of them, Korg and Meek and Heroim and Brood, they genuinely, it seems more like a genuine friendship.
We get to see also here, like, what Hulk is genuinely capable of when his friends are actually on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole time the debate happens on Earth whether or not Hulk is useful, right? And the debate never goes long enough because somebody always fucks with him before they can find out what would happen if you were just nice to him.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, Hulk just saved our asses again. Problem solved. Oh, wait, we better make sure let's get Hulk under control now before shit goes down again.
Yeah. But, like, what happens if you just are on his side through and through the entire time? This is what he can accomplish. Quite a fucking lot.
Yeah.
And it's not like some of them, like a lot of Earth's heroes have tragic stories behind them. And, you know, Hulk could probably relate to these people if they, like, gave him a chance.
Yeah.
But nobody ever does on Earth, and that's why they shot him into space.
Single tear. So, what were you going to say earlier, Jen, when I cut you off?
Oh, no, no. I was just thinking, like, you were saying some of the friends are in it for the long haul, and it's always the ones with more, like, substance behind them. Because if you think about it, they tell their stories, and they've all gone through these really horrible things, and then Aloy was like, yeah, I saw my dad die. And yeah, that sucks. That sucks horribly. But it's nothing compared to some of the stuff, like the brood lady thing, bug,
yeah.
that's gone through, or Meek, who saw his father get slaughtered, and then, like, his whole hive taken out, and his brothers enslaved. Or, you know, just, like, it seems like the people who went through the shittiest times and were always called monsters are the ones that stick with Hulk the most. And well, obviously, this comic has a huge theme of, like, the people you think are monsters really aren't. But.
Well, I don't know. I mean, dead parents worked. It's a good enough motivation for Batman.
That's true.
No, but I see your point.
But Aloy continued to be a whiny brat. Afterwards.
Were you going to say brat when you started the B-sound?
No.
Yeah, I definitely. Because here we get sort of, it's almost analogous. The more of a monster you are, the more of a monster you were made to be. You know? Mm-hmm. Except for Hulk, everybody else here was made into the monsters that they are. I mean, Brood before was just trying to fulfill the wishes of her queen, right? Nothing wrong with that. And then she got shucked out to outer space and lands here. You know, Meek was just trying to be part of his hive. They were just trying to live their lives. Yeah, so they were all made into the monsters that they became.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the Hulk was probably made into being such a monster, you know? If he could just chill out in Alaska like he always wanted, he wouldn't be a problem. But he's made a monster, right? And we talked about that last week, too, right? Like, you get sympathy for him because he doesn't feel like... He doesn't hate being the Hulk. He hates what he has to do or what the Hulk makes him do. Or, like, the things that happen accidentally when he's the Hulk.
Yeah, it seems like they all...
So, like, the Hulk wouldn't even be a monster if it weren't for the outside forces.
You know, in the case of Meek, Brood, and Korg, and Hulk, they're not what you would consider normal looking by human standards or by the people of Sakaar. So from that perspective, people would think, oh, they're monstrous looking, but the situations they're forced into make them do bad things. So then that makes them even more monstrous. So it's all, you know, if you just left them alone, they wouldn't be such horrible. Well, they're not horrible, but you know what I mean?
I guess.
Yeah, they don't always make the good choices, right? I don't know. That's what bothers me about the Hulk so much, too. And Nick Fury. Because they're always like, oh, Hulk, we need you to come here and be angry and destroy things. And then he's like, okay. And they're like, oh, you were so angry. You're terrible. You need to leave Earth. It's like, really? You just... That's like asking a child to do something and then slapping them for doing it.
Yeah, and you know, we realized this week what the problem was last week. I mean, last week I said that Nick Fury probably wanted to keep the Hulk around because he's a good resource. But even then, Nick Fury and all of Nick Fury's ability to see the tactical field and plan things out and strategize and all of that, Nick Fury still only saw the Hulk as a weapon of destruction. That's all anybody ever saw him as, was as a weapon of destruction. But here you learn that he can be so much more. I mean, he can be a unifying thing, too. He can bear all the burdens of all the people on this planet.
It's so sad. I don't know. It's just... And I think that's kind of a major theme here. Nobody is really given a chance. Because, I don't know, it seems like for even the smallest things on this planet, you get punished. If you're a native, you get punished. If you do any sort of crime, you're thrown into the gladiatorial ring. If
you're a perfectly loyal senator, you get punished.
Yeah.
Just for happening to be next to the emperor when he's not happy. So do we want to talk about the ending a little bit?
The ending was brutal. I think that expands on the whole who's the monster thing. Because, I mean, I notice they keep showing Reed Richards' face. Because I know he was, like, kind of at the front of the video. Or, like, standing right in front of the camera the whole time while he's like, yeah, you gotta go. But I feel like he has a lot to do with this. And I know we talked about it last week, but I guess I just really don't like Reed Richards. I'm willing to blame him for stuff.
Isn't there a scene when the Hulk, like, has a memory or a dream or something, and he's smashing Iron Man's face mask?
If he has a dream and he... Doesn't he rip Iron Man in half?
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember it exactly, because there were a lot of issues in here, but the one he brutalizes in his mind is Iron Man.
Wasn't that in Giant Size Hulk number one? Because I think...
Maybe?
I think it's the dream where he and Bruce Banner are fighting for control. And I think he dreams that he rips Iron Man in half. But it was like, oh, that made me laugh, too, because it was all metal and, like, wires and tubes.
Well, he is a man made of iron.
Yeah.
There's not a person in there. A person wouldn't do this to somebody else. In the end, the Hulk blames the humans for... This is where it gets a little bit sticky, because the Hulk blames the humans for the destruction of Sakaar. right? Because the ship is what blows up and cracks the planet beyond repair.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't directly destroy it, not on purpose.
No. But that's the thing, is maybe that was also Hulk's fault. Because when Hulk goes crazy and smashes shit up, including the navigation system that sent him to Sakaar in the first place, he probably also damaged the warp system that ended up blowing up.
Well, yeah, and then he hits it against the ground. He, like, when he first gets captured, he, like, throws it at them. Yeah. But then they take it back to the palace and fuck around with it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think part of it is they built the statue of him in the ship.
Yeah, so probably. Maybe they...
And they're, like, dragging it through the streets also. There's all kinds of possibilities. But the fact of the matter is, you could say, well, ultimately it is, you know, maybe the ship was poorly designed.
Maybe, but I mean, at this point, Hulk is still blaming the humans for things. And he's been gone for, what, like a year? Maybe more? And at this point, it's hard to lay that blame directly on the humans. I mean, yes, this ship wouldn't be here to destroy all these people if it weren't for them. But Hulk also wouldn't have shown up to unify everybody, even if for a short period of time. So it makes you wonder, like, what is the better thing? That they continue living under this shit emperor who drags them through spike wars and stuff for his own pleasure? You know? Or, like, where's the ethical line here? Like, is it good that Hulk even went there at all?
I mean, it is obvious. He freed them. And you can't really blame the humans for the ship blowing up unless you want to read into it and say, like, maybe they were planning to kill him. And I think there are some lines where he says something like, you know, you always try to kill me, you throw bombs at me, you do these things. Maybe he thinks the hyperdrive was meant to detonate.
It just had a delay on it?
Yeah, because we can't... We have to try to put ourselves in Hulk's shoes in this part, right? Because we're looking at it objectively from the outside and saying, well, you know, we're trying to apply logic to it. But Hulk's not driven by logic. Mm-hmm. All he knows is that this thing that Reed Richards and Tony Stark created blew up everything he loves almost immediately after he attains it.
Yeah, after he attains the perfect peace that he always wanted. And a peace that's not bound to the idea of solitude either. He's here with other people. He has a wife. He's going to have kids.
Yeah. And I think what Jen said is correct. That he thought that it was always supposed to do that.
I don't know. I think last week I mentioned, too, the idea of the divide between Bruce Banner and the Hulk. And I really do think they're two separate people, not just parts of an alter ego. Like, it's almost a parasitic or symbiotic relationship, depending on how you want to view it. But here, the Hulk, for the first time ever, has attained what he wanted. Mm-hmm. When it's peace and solitude, it's not the Hulk who wants that. That's Bruce Banner. And it's like, I almost feel bad for him, because it's like the Hulk is this separate person who is trapped inside Bruce Banner, who is constantly trying to control him. Whereas he wants to be his own person, and he has his own merits. And clearly, he can do a lot of good as the Hulk.
Yeah. And it's just an opportunity he's never allowed to take.
Yeah. God, I cannot believe that they killed off his wife, right, as she was, like, gonna have a baby.
Yeah. That's just, like, the Hulk, whenever they dick with the Hulk in this comic, I notice they can't just be mean. They have to be mean and rub it in.
Yeah.
And yeah, they killed everybody, you know? They killed his wife. But they killed his wife with two children. Or with babies, you know? Like, they killed her and a bit more.
Twisted that knife in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of stirred it around.
I kind of like the ending, though, reading it, that it is Hulk's fault. Because that makes Hulk... Like the comic even says, both the Sakaar Sun and the Worldbreaker. He unifies these people. But maybe somewhere along the line, thrashing this ship around... I mean, regardless, it's Hulk's existence that makes this planet get destroyed. I mean, whether it's Hulk's fault or not, it's him being there, him getting sent in that ship. That's what destroys the planet. And maybe it was him thrashing around inside during the trip. Maybe it was him throwing the ship a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it was the kids in the street. I don't know, but I kind of like the reading and the irony that he is both. He's the creator and the destroyer for these people.
And I mean, I think, was it Meek, maybe, who read it? Kind of, first he destroyed before he could even create, so it could be read like that, too. Yeah. Because sometimes it's good to destroy. The Emperor and his society clearly needed to be brought down.
Then the other thing we haven't talked about yet that I do really like is the Wildabots, or Wildbots. How did you guys pronounce it? Wildabots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how I said it in my head. I like them. I think they're really cool. I like the idea of, like, this rogue AI that's, like, going out and just terrorizing people. How do they first, like, we like to oil our machinery with the bloods of the...
of the Imperial Guard.
Of the bloods of the Imperial Guard. That's awesome. And, like, the Imperial Guard's like, nope, local problem. Bye! Handle it yourselves. Contact your local authority.
What do we think of the fact that it was the Wildabots that killed the Emperor, not actually Hulk?
Yeah. I don't know.
I also felt like... Oh, go on.
No, you go ahead.
No, it was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I think what it does is it kind of softens Hulk a little bit, right? Because the hero isn't the merciless killer, right? He could kill, like, faceless stormtrooper-type characters, right?
Yeah.
But the Emperor is a character we know.
And hate, but no.
But we know him, right? We have some type of connection with him, right? So if he gets killed, but we have a strong connection with Hulk, and we want Hulk to be the hero, because Hulk is a superhero, right? And if he kills this guy out of cold blood, then maybe it hurts our perception of him. I don't feel one way or another. For me, it would have been okay if Hulk killed him. But maybe that's why. That's just like, I'm just throwing that out there.
No, I kind of like the sense of justice. I mean, there's justice with the Hulk doing it, because this guy does need to die. So either way, there's going to get a feeling of justice being served. But I like that this force that has terrorized the non-native people of Sakaar for so long, these Highborn, the Imperial Guards and stuff, there's a sense that it's spent so long terrorizing them, and the Emperor has ignored the threat and just said, talk to your local authority. Right? Like, he's ignored it. It's your problem. It's not mine. I'm not going to concern myself with these little Wildabots. But in the end, it's those things that he's been ignoring for so long that is what kills him. I kind of like that twist. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, to have Hulk do it would have been a grand accomplishment, too, because he's fought this long war.
Or even another character.
Another warbound.
If he was, like, thrown into the streets and his own citizens ripped him to pieces, I would have been pretty satisfied with that.
I think I would have liked it if Meek had killed him.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Meek was the one that was stepped on the most by the Highborn.
Yeah.
Like, not just Meek, but his whole species.
His whole people. I mean, everywhere they went, his species was enslaved, hidden around in corners, like, you get to the farming town that's supposed to get overrun by...
the spikes.
By spikes, right? And then they immediately jump to the defense of everybody living there, right? And you're told very briefly that's on Karat or whatever, right? It's an egg farming town. And you're like, okay, fine, whatever. Maybe they've just got, like, chicken coops or whatever. And then you realize what egg farming means. Egg farming means we have a queen, she's going to lay eggs, and we're going to eat them.
Yeah.
I don't care how sentient she is. You realize the horror of what it means for them to have been an egg farming town. And then Meek realizes it too. Like, I think Meek has the same level of innocence as us as the readers. He goes, oh, they're farmers. Oh, that's an innocent profession. Yeah, of course. Let's go save them. They don't have anything to do with the Emperor. They don't know. But then you realize, like, they're just as evil.
Yeah.
I think Meek goes through the most growth in this comic.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he starts out as, like, kind of slapstick. He's goofy.
Yeah.
Right? He's the comic relief, and then by the end, he's this vengeful king with no kingdom.
Mm-hmm. No queen, no chance for his kingdom ever growing in any way.
Yeah.
All he has left is revenge.
And brood.
Yes.
the cold, comforting tentacles of Brood. Mm-hmm. So disturbing.
But she has quite the smile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That could go so many bad ways.
Yeah.
It already has.
Let's look up some fanfic.
Just go to DeviantArt and search Brood Meek.
Oh, God. That can't.
And, well...
I don't want to.
Nope, we don't.
We're not going to do it. Do that on your own time, Andy.
Oh, okay. I'll do creepy weird stuff in the dark room by myself. Fine.
I'm never going to touch your laptop again.
Well, is there anything else we're going to talk about with this one? Do you want to talk about the art? We haven't even brushed on that.
It's good. I enjoyed the art.
I loved the character design in this comic. The armor for Hulk, for Korg, for Silver Surfer. It was awesome.
That's true, and that really does... You see the arena, and you see the people in the stands, but the art and the direction of the eye in this comic is really focused on the characters in the arena. And so you could probably easily forget that they were gladiators in the gladiatorial arena, but that character design, the armor, really helps you solidify in your mind the structure of the society from top to bottom, right? I mean, it immediately makes you think of, like, the might makes right Roman military society. That's what they are. And just something as simple as character design makes it spark immediately.
And you don't need to give characters... I mean, Korg and Hulk don't need weapons or armor. Or to make Silver Surfer's board his shield.
That was cool.
That's, like, really inspiring.
Cool. I didn't even think about that. It was cool.
Because I was, like, wondering, what happened to his surfboard? Because... You know, they captured him. It's going to look really goofy if he surfs into the arena. But no, he has, like, this giant mace, and it's... Oh, it
they
so
strapped
good.
That thing to his arm. It's awesome.
Yeah, and then the art... Who was the artist for this one? We never look up enough information for these.
Yeah, we're terrible people.
But he was really, really good at drawing action.
Yes.
Because I know, what was it, a couple weeks ago I complained about the pacing of action. I think it was in Secret Warriors.
Yeah.
But the pacing of action here is great. It flows and it feels fast when it needs to, and it feels slow and serene when it has to. The pacing is good.
So I don't know if it was the same artist for everything, but I'm looking at issue 105 right now, and it's Carlo Pagulayan.
Alright.
And then Jeff Hewitt as the inker and Chris Sotomayor as colorist. You gotta make sure we give everybody credit.
Yes.
Yep. After getting called out on it.
Yep. Which is fair. We were not doing... We were doing a disservice.
But yeah, the art in here is... It's really enjoyable. It just... I think it's right on the mark for the tone that it wants to convey. It's not too bright, it's not too action-y, it's not too cartoony. It's clear that I'm reading a comic book, but, like, I feel like the artist does faces really well, too. If you look at Hulk's face through different developments, it's, like, spot on. That
and when they
totally
do the panels that are just Hulk's face, those are really good as well.
Yeah.
And I think this art, it does a good job, because they hit a lot of heavy... themes, a lot of irony in this comic. You know, dead babies a couple times come up, you know, and there's a lot of disintegration and murder and death, and it does a good job of not feeling bogged down by it and also feeling comic booky, but so that those things strike you in just the right way. You're like, oh, I'm reading a comic book, cool action, look at Hulk punch that guy hella hard, and oh my god, that baby died.
Yeah. So,
like, the art makes you take that pause because you're singing along with it happily, and then that just wham, hits you.
Yeah.
It's so very brutal.
Well, you guys ready to rate it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jen, you're up first.
Okay, I'm giving this a... Oh, no, maybe I don't think so. I'm really torn between a 4 and a 4.5. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. I saw what we were going to read, and I was like, oh my god, it's like 14 issues. And I was thinking, oh god, the Hulk, it's going to be like, ugh. And it was... I like this character a lot now. it actually changed my opinion about a character, and while I will fully admit that opinion was not founded on any solid basis, and it was probably not the best opinion to hold because of that, you know, if a comic can change your viewpoint about something, that is good writing, that is good art, that is a good comic. It doesn't have the... I don't know, like, sometimes I'll see something and I'll just be like, that is too awesome, give it a 5. But I can't really explain what my difference between a 4.5 and a 5 is, aside from that extra bit of entertainment or emotion that it provides. And while there were some sad things and entertaining things and happy things in here, it didn't have that, like, final push into the perfect comic. But I really want to read World War Hulk now. I want to see him wreak some bloody vengeance on the Illuminati, because it's just so brutal what they did to him, and it's so compelling how he worked out of that as the Hulk, as like this big dumb brute, to form a society, and that was really cool. So yeah, 4.5.
Okay. I'm pretty much on the same boat. I'm going to give it a 4.5 too. And I think it's because... for much the same reason. I mean, every time I've thought about the Hulk before, or envisioned the Hulk in any way, it's always been as a really simple character. And that's been reinforced through the movies that I've seen, and through the times that he's part of a team, or comes in as a cameo. He's always just a wrecking ball. And part of it, you know, the writer here addresses that too, Greg Pak. He's like, every single time you've seen him before, it's been as a wrecking ball. And the entire history of his character, he's been a wrecking ball, and he's never had the opportunity to be anything else. And so let's see what he is when he has the opportunity to not be. And so this comic does a really good job of showing you why Hulk is actually a complex character in more ways than you probably ever considered. I mean, I never considered before the fact that he didn't have an opportunity to be anything other than what he was. He was always pigeonholed into this. I like that there's that added complexity that I never expected to get. And then you get other good characters like Meek and all that other kind of stuff, and it's just... the writing in here is just so solid. And like you, I also really just cannot wait to read World War Hulk again. I've read it before, a couple issues that you made me borrow, David, that were awesome. And I want to read them again. But yeah, it's just really good. But same thing, I'm basically repeating verbatim what you said. I don't know why I'm not giving it a 5, but I'm not giving it a 5, even though I probably should. So yeah, 4.5.
Well, would you say this is a perfect comic?
Not perfect.
Well, and that's why you didn't give it a 5.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure, to help you work through that.
All right.
So yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it a 4.5 as well. I'm not sure what to add to what you guys said. What impressed me about this comic so much is the writing. I mean, the art's great, and like I said before, I love the character design. I mean, Hulk is a character that's known for being green and wearing purple shorts. And in this, he has a completely different look, you know.
He's got the cool, like, gladiator skirt thing going
on. Yeah, it's awesome.
With the helmet, with the frill.
Yeah, but even more than that, the writing is so good. If you like this writing, check out more of Greg Pak's work. Especially the stuff he does with Fred Van Lente. I think that's how you pronounce it. Like, he did The Incredible Hercules run, which is one of my favorite comics I've ever read. That we read some of it before.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Thorcules, that little run. It's writing is good. The stories are really good. It's funny. It's serious. It's just got such a great range, and it's really solid. And, oh, he did one of the Phoenix ones we read. Did we read End Song or War Song? We read End Song.
End Song.
Yeah, well, he did both of them, but...
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so check out more of Greg Pak's stuff. He's one of my favorite writers. I will pick up comics written by him because they are written by him, even if it's something I wouldn't necessarily be interested in. But, yeah. 4.5.
All right.
Now go read World War Hulk.
Yeah, I will, definitely.
And then read Incredible Hercules.
Yes, you need to. It's amazing. Okay, so that actually wraps up our little Avengers guys we didn't know arc. With Hulk doubled up.
Yeah, and minus Hawkeye.
Yeah, well. That's nobody okay. needs to know about Hawkeye. It's fun. So next up, we're going to read... we're going to do something we haven't done in a while, which is like the artist focus series. We're going to read 4 volumes by Gail Simone, who became famous with her Women Refrigerators website. So if you remember when we did Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner is spurred to action by his girlfriend getting stuffed in a refrigerator because, you know, nothing works better than killing off a woman. So Gail Simone started up this website saying how this is a consistent, sexist, horrible theme in comics. And she did such great, smart writing on that it got her a job working at DC. And she'd been a writer before then, too. But that's the thing that made her famous and pushed her over, because there's a lot of good writing on that website, too.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off next week by reading All New Adam, Volume 1. It's subtitled My Life in Miniature. So this is after the original Adam gives up the mantle and a new one takes it up. And they're going to read Secret Six, Volume 1, which is subtitled Unhinged.
Which is awesome.
Secret Six is great. It's kind of like the DC version of Thunderbolts, I guess. Kind of.
They fill the same role in their respective universes.
Yeah.
But the comics are very different.
Yeah.
But are both amazing. Yeah, let me just throw this out here. If you have never read Thunderbolts but seen it on the shelf, it's so good. Seriously.
And same
Seriously, with, guys. Thunderbolts.
And same with Gail Simone's run on Secret Six. So it's like... villains who are caught and they're allowed, if they do work for this team, then they're allowed time taken off their sentence or allowed a little bit of freedom. Like, we know you got superpowers, we know you're only kind of evil, help us out and we'll, you know, be nice.
Haven't we met them before?
I think we have met them or seen them before. We've seen a couple of them before, I know that for sure. And then we're going to read Wonder Woman. I don't remember what number it is in the volume, but it's from the 2006 run, issues 14 to 19. The set is subtitled The Circle. And then we're going to wrap it up with Gail Simone, I think what she's called her own favorite project, Birds of Prey, Volume 1, subtitled Of Like Minds. And that's the second volume. Well, that doesn't make sense. It's the first trade paperback.
It's Birds of Prey, Volume 1.
Yes.
Or Volume 2, like the second run.
Yeah, because there was a run back in like the
90s. It's the second ongoing of Birds of Prey.
There was one back in the 90s, and then there's one that this one started in the aughts somewhere.
So this is Volume 1 of Volume 2.
Yes.
So the one by Gail Simone.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Jen.
If you're confused at all about these issues or whatever, just hit us up on the website, which is www.atomicpowersupercast.com, and all that information will be right on there. It'll look all pretty and everything, I promise. Just hit future shows, and it'll, bam, show right up. If you're also still confused, you can ask us directly over email.
Which is atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Or you can ask us on Twitter.
Which is @APSupercast or twitter.com/APSupercast.
I'm sorry, Jen. I don't know why I did that as a question mark. Or if you need more than 140 characters, but you really love social media, you can find us on Facebook. And please like us on Facebook. And that's just go to Facebook and search Tom Power Supercast. That's everything, huh?
iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Subscribe on iTunes. Do that now. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.